Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Nobody disgusts me more than a Cowboy fan because they never take a moment to smell their own stench.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Stephen A. Smith here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He's a dream come true.
Today's guests, Houston Chronicle NFL columnist John McClain, Buffalo Bills cornerback Josh Norman, Green Bay Packers running back Aaron Jones, plus two-time Olympic gold medalist Abby Wambach. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host. Sitting here in Los Angeles, California, Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo
hey,
in their
Rich.
Usual spots. Good to see you. TJ Jefferson readjusting his camera shot after he drained the putt to start the show. I don't know if we've... do we have any statistics of...
No, but you know what? I'm going to start keeping it.
His putting?
Actually. Yes.
Of his putting and then and how it reflects upon the... I think we do a great show every day. So
I'm gonna keep track.
I don't like to use that as a harbinger, to use the phrase that
TJ might... will have a handicap on the putting green.
Harbinger was a great word from my third grade English teacher. At any rate, welcome to the show. Exclusively here on Peacock once again. Hello, TJ Jefferson. Good to see you.
Hello,
good
Rich.
To see you. And you're settled into your seat, even though what you're sitting on partially was chewed off by Stephen A. Smith in the third hour of our show yesterday.
I mean,
good to see you.
I had to take the high road, Rich.
Go to our YouTube stream, and also the videos are right here on Peacock on our page. When Stephen A. came on the show and delivered a manifesto towards a Cowboys fans, it was delicious. It was chef's kiss. I enjoyed it, even though you did not. But hello to all of you. Week four of the NFL season is in the books, and we are a quarter of the NFL season is in the books, and only one game has been postponed. And not been played yet due to COVID. Okay. Rescheduled, I guess is the proper word. So that's, knock on wood if you're with me. We'll take it.
I mean, let's go.
We'll take it. And we had a double header last night. And I'll tell you what, man. That was very Gruden-esque. Knock on wood if you're with me, and I'll tell you what, man. Tell you what, man.
Steen it all, man.
Yeah. Well,
not anymore.
No, not his team.
No.
But, the Kansas City Chiefs, how about this? I did not know this. No team has ever started 4-0 four straight years. How about that? Did you see that stat last night?
I did.
That and you know, Romo and Nance were like, I'm surprised Brady never did that. I'm surprised, you know, Peyton Manning, didn't he start 8-0 several years in a row once Dungy arrived? And, you know,
the Pats never do that?
They
started 2-2 a bunch of years, and they won the Super Bowl after.
4-0 four straight years.
The Cowboys had to have done that.
And I'll tell you again,
I mean,
I'll tell
I
you
hope
what,
you're
man.
Kidding.
It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. But the Chiefs eventually pulled away.
Yeah, the score is not indicative of how close
that
game
was. Well, it was a tight game because Belichick was doing his usual bag of tricks on Mahomes. And I believe it was the third time that the Patriots have played Mahomes and held him to zero touchdown passes in the first half. And, you know, they fly day a game. Cam Newton isn't playing because he has COVID, which is one of the, if not the main reason why the game was pushed to Monday night, because of how late in the week he displayed his positive test. And they're running the ball. How many times last year, Chris, did I say to you, why does New England draft a kid second round in Damian Harris, who, by the way, is the guy who played in front of Josh Jacobs in Alabama. Josh Jacobs right. couldn't crack the starting lineup because this kid was running in Alabama, right?
Yeah.
And at one point, wasn't it Derrick Henry and Damian Harris? Or those are different eras?
I think that was different
I don't know. All I know is Josh Jacobs could not crack the starting lineup with regularity in Alabama because this kid was running there. New England drafts him in the second round. Sony Michel can't run the ball. You know, Gronk isn't there. You need a burst. And he was, he wasn't usable.
He had four carries last
year. That's it. And he runs for 100 yards. Rex Burkhead is hitting the seam. And the only reason why the Patriots aren't in front is because Brian Hoyer showed why, you know, he's... Well, there's two parts of the first half. First half with Hoyer is he shows that he knows to run this offense and he can hit people in stride on occasion. And New England can rely on him to hit guys in stride. That's how they were or set things up. I know they were handing off, but the offense was moving in the proper way. And that's potentially why they can't quit Brian Hoyer. Is he knows their world, knows their offense, and it was clicking and moving. And just as I tweeted out towards the end of the first half that New England is just this just in one of the best coached teams and one of the best coached teams in terms of utilizing their roster to the best of their ability, Hoyer pulls one of the most rare instances I've ever seen in a Belichick-coached Patriots squad of doing the exact opposite of smart situational football. I've never seen somebody not know how many timeouts they have left and not know. I mean, obviously taking a sack is terrible, but
I burned the last 20 seconds of the half off on that play.
They could have gone to the locker room tied at six.
Tied, yeah.
And then he throws a terrible pick later on in the second half, and all of a sudden Jared Stidham's coming in. And I'll tell you this.
Well, based the pick on, six wasn't his fault. It went right through Edelman's hands, who has been pretty
oh, that's true.
Not great
yeah, it was
this
Stidham
year.
Who threw a bad pick later on.
Yeah, so.
But Hoyer was making way too many mistakes, and they moved to Stidham. I would say this. Based on last night's game, and this may be part of the reason why we're surprised about Mahomes and the Chiefs, right? Is we're just assume it. We're also assuming that somebody's done it before. I would proffer to say last night Cam Newton got more MVP votes accrued than Pat Mahomes. Patrick, pardon me. I guess we're just assuming Mahomes is going to do it, and at some point Mahomes will find Kelsey, and they'll dial up the right play in the red zone like they did with Tyreek Hill to get him in the end zone for the first time and take a bigger lead than they should have had because of the mistakes the Patriots were making in the red zone. And again, you can chalk this up to the fact that they didn't know if they were playing the game Sunday morning, and then they're told you got to get on a plane Monday and play the game Monday night at the home of the champs where there are fans allowed. So, a four turnover night, all from the quarterback position. I don't know the last time that happened. And that's why, again, I think Cam Newton, if you want to say whose stock rose more as a most valuable player, Cam Newton's stock rose more in that department than Mahomes, because I don't know how much more I guess Mahomes could raise his stock. So, we'll just take that and just say it's an outlier and that the Patriots will have a game at home against the Denver Broncos, who I assume won't look as efficient against an AFC East opponent on the road with Brett Rippon at the controls than they did this past Thursday night. I proffer to say they'll have a tougher time putting points on the board, that they won't get six different personal foul penalties, thanks to the idiocy of their defending the defenders that they're going against. Didn't mean to use this as a moment for me against the Jets, but I'm essentially saying they'll be 3-2 going into a bye, after which we hopefully get Cam Newton back, because again, we do not know how a human being will react to contracting COVID. We're just assuming somebody of his health and status and wealth and the health care that he's afforded as somebody with his status and wealth that many in our country are not. We're just assuming he will just be back. No problem. We'll see. That's number one in terms of the game that we saw last night. And then the back end of the double dip. How good is Aaron Rodgers? In the same way that we were discussing this offseason, non-playing season, is what type of Cam would show up and how the Patriots went through much of their evaluation portion, draft period, free agency period, saying we can go with Stidham and Hoyer. And then we saw last night why potentially
can't do that.
Bill picked up the phone in June and said, "Let's. Does anyone have anyone around here have Cam Newton's number?" That was number one storyline question mark that we've gotten answered. The other one was, how pissed off is Aaron Rodgers? How is he going to react to the fact that they drafted his successor instead of drafting him? Somebody like, say, even though he was taken off the board by the time that they moved up to take Jordan Love, they could have moved up to take the kid who leapfrogged half of the Eagles' defense on Sunday night, and Brandon Ayuk. You imagine if he's running around opposite Devontae Adams? And we had Aaron Rodgers on this show a couple Fridays ago, and he said that he was at peace with where he is and that he worked on a lot about himself in the offseason. Remember he said that, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
And that he's at peace is where he is, that he does like the offense. He is very comfortable within this offense, that the cadence of the offense he's more comfortable with. He knows the voice in his ear. He's more familiar with that voice than Matt LaFleur, who, by the way, is now 4-0 after going 13-3 in his first year. We'll do the math for you. That's winning 17 of his first 20 as head coach of the Green Bay Packers. You'd sign for that. But Aaron Rodgers is, if you will, doing more with less. Aaron Rodgers is finding guys that you didn't think he would have to find, or he is helping raise the level of play of people that have it within them. Alan Lazard last week, this past week, last night, number 85 in your program, number one in your heart, and three times in the end zone. When George Kittle was kind enough to clear a hole in his schedule to show up in Indianapolis at the Combine this year and help me raise a ton of money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital for the Run Rich Run campaign. Remember he came on the show, he said, "I'll time you." And I reached out to him, "Do you want to time me?" And he's like, "Yeah." He showed up. Showed up with his dad, his agent. This was Team Kittle who he showed up with. He showed up with a fourth individual. It was Kittle plus three. The guy he showed up with was a workout partner of his, a guy who he's going to be working out with in the offseason, and a really good friend of his. His name was Robert Tonyan.
This guy. Wow.
And he was just as big as George, and he was just as stacked as George. This is, again, to my own eye. I don't want George to get pissed off if he's like, "I'm bigger, I'm stronger." But they are tight. And George said to me at one point as we were walking to the line for me to get warmed up and all that stuff, he goes, "Watch out for this guy this year. Watch out for him. Aaron likes him. He loves Aaron. Watch out for him." Well, we saw a lot of him last night. No Devontae Adams, no Alan Lazard. At times, our second-hour guest, Aaron Jones, was not on the field. Apparently, he was dealing with cramps leading up to the game this past week. No big whoop. Maybe that's why Aaron Rodgers is at peace. The defense, too, man. Bageled Calvin Ridley. Blutarski, 0.0.
Didn't expect that.
And I mean, the Smiths.
Julio Jones didn't play in the second half.
I know. And Atlanta, I know at least Todd Gurley had a couple of touchdowns, but I don't know what to say other than the fact that it's just looking brutal there. And we love the coach. We love Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager, one of our favorites to call up. But it's bleak right there. And next up for them is Carolina. And the Panthers are winners of two in a row. They've won each game since McCaffrey went out. And they're feeling good, and Bridgewater's feeling good. Yeah, and what way to put the hot seat on caution flammable than to go in and beat Atlanta in their own house to go 3-2, to be three games ahead of Atlanta. This team that gave up on Cam started 0-2, turning their season around. It's bleak right now for Atlanta. And on the flip side, Green Bay, I said to, was it Peter King yesterday? I forget who it might have been. All the great shows bleed into each other is essentially what I'm saying. You know, who's the most complete team? Is it Green Bay? And they're like, no, Kansas City would be. They're the defending Super Bowl champs, and they've got a great stacked team, and I do love them. Don't sleep on the Green Bay Packers. They're hitting their bye week. And this is one of the things I want to talk about with Aaron Jones is what has Matt LaFleur told this team on a bye week? As you might have read, the coronavirus in the Green Bay area in particular is running wild. It is something for people in the area to keep vigilant about. Certainly if you don't have a helicopter that can take you to a world-class hospital and give you all sorts of experimental drugs. That bye week is concerning to me. I hope everybody stays healthy. But then coming out, look at that week six game. Wow. At TB12, who in week five has got a short week coming up in just 2 days' time to kick off week five against the Chicago Bears. And then after that, they visit the Houston Texans, who offed their coach and GM yesterday.
I mean, we were talking about it, but just kind of like,
wow.
Not really thinking it would happen, right?
I want to take a break and come back and discuss that and give you my four downs. I've got a hot take that I'm particularly proud of. You might not think it's that hot. Josh Norman will be joining us. He made his Buffalo Bills debut and came out with a huge takeaway that changed a little bit of the tenor of that win in Las Vegas. The aforementioned Aaron Jones and Abby Wambach is an anytime guest. I can't wait to talk with her and with you at 844-204-RICH. We're off and running on this Peacock broadcast. We'll talk about Bill O'Brien when we come back. Hey, football fans. Are you an Amazon Prime member? Did you know you can watch Thursday Night Football live on Prime Video? That's right. It's the future of football, and the future is right now. You can catch all the action on any device almost anywhere in the world, and you could choose your favorite announced team, including Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, or Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah from Move the Sticks, or Chris Long and Carrie Champion from NFL Next. Get next-gen stats and watch in-game replays on demand, all within Prime Video's X-Ray. Next-gen stats are real-time stats powered by AWS. No more waiting around. You can access the current stats anytime you want. Need to check how your fantasy team and fantasy players are doing? This is the ideal way to stay up to speed. In-game on-demand replays. They're accessible on your remote on Fire TV or by turning your mobile device sideways. So if you're a streamer or simply want the most custom way of watching Thursday Night Football, tune in live every Thursday starting October 8th. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, kickoffs at 8:20 p.m. Eastern on Prime Video. Also available on Fox and NFL Network. NFL Network simulcast subject to change. Thursday Night Football is presented by Bud Light Platinum. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archives. I'll tell you what, folks, you cannot do without NFL Game Pass and being a football fan. It makes it so much better. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Back to our Peacock and Sirius XM listeners. Our terrestrial radio show listeners will join us in a little bit. 844-204-RICH. We already have some phone lines lit. We'll take your calls shortly. What's the poll question, Christopher? Hit it.
And okay.
I'll hit it with a retweet, as they can
say.
All right,
we do the math. We're at the quarter point of the NFL season. Just about every team has played four games, except Kansas City and Pittsburgh. But who is the quarter season MVP right now? Let's hand out some awards. Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Russell Wilson. At Rich Eisen Show, vote right now.
Now, as you know, I said earlier that I thought that Cam earned a ton of votes last night for not playing and just showing you what it looks like without him when the Patriots take the field, even though, again, the circumstances under which they played that game and had to travel to the game is significant. But those four right there have been remarkable for their undefeated teams, and thus those are the four that we choose. So we'll discuss this a little bit longer. Look at Aaron Rodgers. Does he have, like, the, in that photograph, like the Seinfeld Enzo cut right there? Don't you think? The hair. Just throwing
pretty,
it out there.
That's pretty funny. It looks like he's in Fargo or something. That beard.
Fantastic. All right, those are your question marks. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, and we say hello to our terrestrial radio listeners, especially to those listening to us on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California. We say hello to all of our friends in San Diego and thank them on behalf of all Yankee fans for their wonderful hospitality. And we will hit that later on in the program. As the Houston Astros took care of business, doubling up the A's, and then the Yankees, when we said with Blake Snell and Garrett Cole, what do you think? Well, 1-0, 2.5 hours? Nope. Turned into a bit of a slugfest last night. So apparently I have ruffled a few San Diego Padre fan feathers, and we'll hit that later on this program. But for the moment, I do want to discuss the shocking dismissal in Houston.
Whew.
Now then, I say this a lot, and I like repeating it because it shows to you that I feel I'm a reasonable man. And I understand I'm not a perfect man. Had Peter King on this show yesterday. I said, Peter, I'm wondering if owners of football teams this year might be less apt to be rash in firing a coach midseason because, A, there's COVID, B, there's no fans in the stands for people like a boiling pot with a lid on top of it that frequently leads to an in-season coaching change. I thought that was a keen take. A sharp take.
I kind of agreed, too.
I thought that was a take you don't hear anywhere else.
Yep.
And normally, those in this business, those takes are hot. This one I thought was smart and keen and observant, if I may say so. Three words that I try to teach my children, which is why, again, best dad ever. Now, what would you say, just doing the math in my head, that's 4 months running, coming up. The four-month anniversary of winning this prestigious award. Boy, was I wrong. I mean, was I wrong? Because, one, the Texans did have fans in the stands against the Minnesota Vikings. And those fans did vote with their feet, apparently, as I read up in the Houston Chronicle, whose chronicler, John McClain, will join us in about 15 minutes' time to talk about all this. Those fans apparently did vote with their feet when they fell behind the Minnesota Vikings by a couple scores. And the owner of the Texans apparently did see that, did observe all of that, that I said was not going to be a factor in making a decision that the Houston Texans owner did in fact take.
Oops.
All on the same day. But hey, there's many other owners of 0-4 teams that have yet to swing the axe, and maybe that does happen. I don't know, but it does appear that there was a power struggle in Houston between a gent named Jack Easterby that was brought in to evaluate the organization that did lead to Brian Gaines, the general manager of the Houston Texans a couple years ago, getting the gate. Bill O'Brien took his spot. And that is, to me, why Bill O'Brien got the gate yesterday, because the guy who bounced the general manager, leading to Bill O'Brien filling the void with his own power to become the rare dual threat in the NFL of coach and general manager, grocery shopper and grocery distributor and an employer, cooking the meals, shopping the groceries, cooking the meals. Not many do that in the NFL. And unfortunately for Bill, the guy whose coaching tree he's on, who eventually did replace the guy complaining that he could not shop for the groceries and cook in New England, in Bill Belichick, removed from Parcells with Pete Carroll in between. Belichick does do both in New England, and it's been working out for him. Not so much for Bill O'Brien, who did have this to say on a quick Zoom that was put together after his shocking dismissal.
I'm sorry that we couldn't get this team over the hump. We couldn't get it over the hump last year, the year before, but and obviously early on this year, but we it wasn't from lack of effort. We did win four division championships here that we're very proud of. Won four division championships in 6 years. So we did a lot of good things here, but we didn't do enough. We didn't bring a Super Bowl to Houston, which I believe eventually someone will. I think this is a championship team that's that needs to get things turned around right now, but I believe in this team.
Well, the issue is, again, we could sit here and go way back and say, well, he's the one who wanted Brock Osweiler without actually meeting with him as a free agent, and then decided to make the smart maneuver, be part of the team, make the smart maneuver to trade up and take Deshaun Watson, but decided to start Tom Savage instead, needing only one half of first week football to make the proper decision to turn things over to Deshaun Watson. And there are so many play calls that we can go back and forth on. But I do believe the reason why Bill O'Brien lost his gig yesterday is because of Bill O'Brien, the general manager. We'll see if John McClain agrees. And in case anybody wants to play some of these greatest hits, we'll just roll through them. Trading away Jadeveon Clowney for a third-round pick and Barkevious Mingo and Jacob Martin just on the eve of a playing season. Trading away a former first overall selection who did stay on the free agent market a long time this non-playing season, but was a hotly sought commodity to the point where teams almost try to make NBA-style type trades to fit him under the cap. That's how hot a commodity Jadeveon Clowney was this year. Just a third-round pick, and by the way, he was a former first overall pick for the organization. And then there was, right before the season, the acquisition of a left tackle. Of note, Laremy Tunsil, one of the best in the business, and Kenny Stills on top of it, a weapon. So you do provide protection for your quarterback and also a weapon for your quarterback. Great move. Only problem was they did it right before the season and also did it without signing Laremy Tunsil to a long-term deal prior to it. Did cost him a three-year, $66 million deal, 50 of which is guaranteed, most for an offensive lineman. You say, it's not a lot of money. It's also not a lot of years. And they gave up two ones and a two.
Pricey.
Yeah. So there's that. And then the mother of all trades on this sheet is dealing away DeAndre Hopkins at age 27, three-time All-Pro player, leading your franchise in catches and yards for six of the seven previous years at age 27. You trade him for David Johnson, who hasn't had a solid season since 2016 because of a bunch of injuries, and you take on all of his salary as well. $11 million this year, $2 million of $9 million next year because of a roster bonus this year. You take on all of that salary because you don't want to pay that to DeAndre Hopkins. And you don't get a first round back also, just a two. In case you're wondering, Brandon Cooks has been traded twice for first round picks. Twice for first round picks. And the only time he hasn't been acquired for a first round pick is when Bill O'Brien acquired him from the Rams for a second round pick, taking on the rest of his deal, $81 million deal that runs through 2024. And you trade away only a second round pick for that guy in a draft where it's chock full of young wide receivers who don't cost that much money. And you put it all together as DeAndre Hopkins currently has more catches for Arizona this season than every other receiver that Deshaun Watson is throwing to as a starter combined. He is the league leader in receptions, DeAndre Hopkins. And you're 0-4 yourself and don't have your first and second round selection in next year's draft. That'll get you got in the National Football League. And it got Bill O'Brien yesterday. We'll see where it leads for him. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. John McClain will join us in about 8 minutes' time. Let's get to four downs here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's go.
Hut, hut.
Four downs with Rich.
Here we go.
Why did you stop me?
First down.
All right. All righty. First down here. I told you yesterday when you raised it as an Overreaction Monday topic that I had already thought about it for four downs, so I'm being consistent. I'm coming through with it. Taking a look at the American Football Conference, the team with the best chance to beat the Chiefs are the Buffalo Bills. That's a fact. I believe that is a fact. I know the Titans are undefeated still, and I know the Steelers are undefeated still, and I know that the Ravens have a trouble beating the Chiefs, and we saw the Patriots, if they do face each other again, and a healthy Cam Newton is there, and Belichick can dial up the evil, it's possible. But what other team in the NFL has an MVP quarterback on the rise with an offense that has a ton of weapons, running, receiving, and an offense that's cooked up by kind of an evil genius in Brian Daboll and how they can move pieces around and then defensively hit you hard? And Josh Norman's just been added to this defense. He's joining us top of hour number two. I kind of put it all together here. And the Bills can go point for point with the Chiefs and hit you hard. Maybe even get Mahomes off the spot and rattle him. I'm buying it.
Higher register right there?
I don't think I'm going to go higher register. I'm going to just basically say I think right now, through 4 weeks, the Buffalo Bills have the best chance to knock the Chiefs off out of any other team in the AFC.
Is there a more beautiful roller coaster than Josh Allen, the Josh Allen quarterback experience?
It's not even much of a roller coaster anymore. It's just really just because that means that you're anxious. There's not many lows. There are not many lows at all. He's making the throws. And he's not the one time he did the do too much thing, he got dinged up. You don't see a lot of that this year. I like what I see out of him. That's first down. Here's second down. Through 4 weeks here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, here we go. I know he loves him. And I know it's awful. And it's wrong. for a player to lose his starting position because of friendly fire from a team doctor's needle. But Tyrod Taylor lost his ability to play football in 2020 for the short term, and we hope he does get better soon. But it'll be awful tough for the Los Angeles Chargers to go back to him based on what we're seeing out of Justin Herbert, who went toe-to-toe with the defending Super Bowl champions and Super Bowl champion MVP, and then went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady throwing 5 touchdowns and a pick 6. And the Chargers were, and lost to Austin Eckler. And they were in that game. And he seems like, how do you not want to see how this plays out? Yeah. We see where it goes. Get him the reps.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Anthony Lynn may essentially say, look, I've been in this league. I've played in this league. I've coached in this league. I'm a coacher of men, and I love this guy. And he is not losing his job because of an errant needle. But it'll be awful tough to sit Justin Herbert after what we've already seen from him. And he's going to be, based on what you're hearing so far, I don't know, but he's going to be on Monday Night Football. And if he goes toe-to-toe with Drew Brees, then it'll be awful tough to just to go in a different direction. Let's get to third down.
Third down.
I don't know if I dare bring this up with Josh Norman. I might.
Uh-oh.
But the league's better when Odell Beckham Jr. is doing his thing. And Odell Beckham Jr. was doing his thing in Dallas. He knows. He knows when the Dallas Cowboys are on the field against you, when you show out, people show up to talk about you. And he showed up for the Cleveland Browns. Oof, 5 touches, all of them led to first downs and touchdowns. That's the good stuff. Run the ball. Create some sort of havoc on the other side of the ball because you're jamming it down people's throats. And then play action pass. And who's open? Double moving his way down the field to one-handed. Grab it and grab everybody's lapels and get him jumping off the couch. Odell Beckham Jr. Odell's back. I'm saying it. Odell Beckham Jr. is good for this league.
I like it.
He's back. Let's get to fourth down.
Oh, is it hot take time? Now, you said you're proud of this take, but I might not think it's too hot. What say you, Rich Eisen?
Okay, here we go. I'm clutching the hot take plank.
Masked up.
Here we go. When clutching this hot take plank, I am allowed to say whatever the hell I want.
Uh-oh.
With not a single piece of accountability. It is my right in a chair on a show like this to hot take. And I don't allow myself to do it, but I'm going to.
Quite a preamble.
The NFC East stinks on ice. It's not that hot. This is how bad it stinks.
Okay.
The 7 seeds in both conferences, both, will have a better record than the eventual NFC East winner in 2020.
Okay, that's
both
not bad.
7 seeds.
Not
both
bad.
Both of them. I'm not just saying the NFC, the AFC too. A better record. Not tie. Not have the same 8-8. Or 7-9. Better. Everybody thinks the 7 seeds are going to limp in. Fine. They limp in. It'll be better than the 7-9 record or 7-8-1 record or, yes, say it with me, 6-9-1 record that could take the NFC East this year. That's my hot take for the fourth week edition of the Rich Eisen Show, 4 Downs.
All right, your playoff picture right now.
Yes.
7th seeds in the AFC. Cleveland Browns, 3-1.
Yep.
In the NFC.
Yep.
The Saints, 2-2.
Uh-huh.
That's a better record.
So far, so good.
It's a better record.
But you're already seeing how it could be dicey.
It's going to be close.
Both 7 seeds. Don't expand the playoff seedings because the 7th seed won't mean much, and they don't deserve to make it. They're going to limp in. Well, they will be on the road to start the playoffs with a better record than the NFC East team that hosts a wild card weekend playoff game.
By the way, this is so fun. Your first round match. So one seeds get byes, right? So
yes, sir.
Your first round matchup, Bills Browns.
By the way,
sign me up for that.
I'll Let's bring that up with Josh Norman.
Like sign
line
me
up against Odell Beckham, baby.
Sign me
like
up for that.
Like it's 2016 and slap each other around. Let's take a break.
Seahawks Saints in the NFC.
John McClain from Houston. A very simple first question. WTF? How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to Geico during Geico-ween. October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to Geico isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy Geico-ween, everybody. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Can Sirius XM Radio, our terrestrial radio audience, will join us in just a couple of seconds and we'll get to John McClain. If you're on hold, stay on hold. John McClain will join us. We'll take a break. We'll talk with Josh Norman, and it's always an entertaining chat with Josh. And he had a big play for the Buffalo Bills in a one-possession game. Raiders have the ball, driving the field. Darren Waller gets it, and Josh punches the ball out. And then the quarterback named Josh, a couple plays later, cashes it in for six. That's all she wrote. That was the end of that game. Bills are 4-0. And that defense already stout on the back end. Just added Josh Norman. And he's showing up. Again, if 2016 Josh Norman and 2016 Odell and 2015 Cam Newton show up in 2020, then we're all good in the hood, I think. Right?
Fun season.
Because, if Josh brings that daring do from run of the Bulls from Pamplona, we're good. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We say hello to the mightier 1090 people and hopefully the San Diego Padres fans who might be a little bit upset with me. I'll explain that coming up in hour number two. Aaron Jones will join us. Josh Norman will join us. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. But we take the phone calls of a man who has seen quite a bit in his time covering Houston sports since the mid-70s from the Houston Chronicle. John McClain joining us the day after Bill O'Brien is let go by the Texans. How are you, John?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Always great to hear your voice, and you're the first person we reach towards and want to join us when something big happens in Houston, and this certainly suffices and checks that box. What happened, John? What happened?
Rich, you mentioned the Bills. Last year, the Texans beat the Bills in a wild card game, went up on Kansas City 24-0 in the second quarter in the divisional game, and then got steamrolled, and they've been terrible ever since. They're the biggest disappointment in the NFL at 0-4, coming off a loss to winless Minnesota. And the owner, Cal McNair, had seen enough because he knew the team was going in the wrong direction.
So, all right. But why do it? I mean, why not think that the guy that has won four out of the six division championships in the AFC South could turn it around? Why Romeo Crennel? Why that?
Number one, if he thought Bill O'Brien could turn it around, he would have kept him. they knew they were going to lose the first three games, although they didn't expect to lose. I take that back. They wanted to win the first three. They played at Kansas City, hosted Baltimore, and played at Pittsburgh, and they looked terrible. No consistency on either side of the ball in any of those games. Quarter year, half there. So here comes Minnesota, giving up 440 yards a game, terrible against the run. Texans couldn't beat them. Texans are last in rushing, last against the run. Only team that hasn't forced a turnover. Something had to give.
And in terms of something had to give, it seems to me that they took the car keys away too late, John. I mean, the DeAndre Hopkins deal just makes this look like you could have seen it coming. Certainly with David Johnson and not having any draft choices next year already and starting at 0-4, is any of his general managing part of the reason why he lost his gig yesterday, John?
Well, Bill was in charge of personnel for the last 2 years, even though he was only given the title of general manager after last season. But he had made all the personnel decisions, 22 of the 53 he brought in, including seven starters in the Minnesota game. So I believe, because none of us here thought they would be in this predicament, I didn't see light at the end of the tunnel. I thought they would probably lose to Jacksonville because there's a lot of problems on both sides of the ball. And Cal McNair said he didn't like to do it. He liked Bill O'Brien, but you had to put aside your personal relationship when you got to make a business decision, and that's what they made.
Was there a struggle within the building, power struggle, with the Jack Easterby, who was brought in, and we know that led to the previous general manager being fired, and then a power void that was filled by Bill O'Brien for the last couple of years? Is that something that was going down too, John?
Bill O'Brien had final say on all personnel decisions. He and Easterby had disagreements. Every coach and he's not a GM, he's executive vice president of football ops, had disagreements, but I was asked if they had a falling out. If you have a falling out, to me, you don't work together. And that's the way it was with Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith. In this case, they worked together. They had disagreements. They had arguments. Everybody has an argument with Bill, who has a bad temper and explosive personality. But Bill O'Brien had final say on every big decision. Nobody else. And Cal McNair signed off because he believes you hire GM, you give him the money to do what he needs to do, and then you get out of the way. And if it doesn't work, you get rid of it. It wasn't working this year. They got rid of it.
What's the one thing, if Bill O'Brien could wave a wand, do you think he would change today, other than just keeping his
job? I think he would go back to the Kansas City game in which they just choked that 24-0 lead. He would not call the fake punt on fourth down on his 31-yard line, which backfired, led to an easy touchdown. It was the worst call of his career.
Well, I mean, and then the fake punt that succeeded it as well, that gave a short field to Kansas City. I mean, if you're saying that fourth down call that he thought they had made it a first down, and then when he found out it was fourth, decided just, you know, in the heat of the moment to kick it, and that led to, you know, the comeback, I guess that sparked the comeback. Pouring gasoline on the fire was the fake punt that came after that. But these are all X's and O's decisions. I'm saying a roster. I mean, this team is 0-4 with no picks in the top two rounds next year. And, Watson is under contract, which is terrific. I just keep returning to DeAndre Hopkins. And I know that we live in a fantasy football world and we look at football players and fantasy terms, and same thing with trades. I that one is still the ultimate head scratcher. If you've got a guy in Watson that you know you're going to pay, and you know he's your guy of the future, and you know you've got somebody of DeAndre Hopkins' status at the age of 27, how in the world do you do what he did? How does that happen? How does the owner sign on that? That
contract with 3 years left on it, they would have redone it with two. And I'll say this about DeAndre. He was here when they got smoked by the Chiefs in the playoffs, when they got beat 41-7 at Baltimore in regular season. But, yes, he's the go-to receiver. And I don't think if he was here they would be any different than 0-4 because they're so bad on defense and can't stop anybody. But he may have made the scores closer, but I don't think he would have made a difference in an 0-4 record.
John McClain of the Houston Chronicle here on the Rich Eisen Show. So who's obviously it's not going to be Romeo Crennel's gig moving forward, I don't imagine, even if he does finish the season above 500 from here on out with the talented players that they do have. What do you think they do? Who do you think they go to?
Well, first of all, you're right. Crennel's 73. He's not going to win the rest of the games. He's not going to be the head coach next year. They won't say. I talked to Cal McNair. He says, you know, we got it. One of the reasons we did it now, it gives us a lot of time to put together a list of people we want to interview. I believe it'll be an offensive background coach. It'll be somebody who's worked as an offensive coordinator and quarterback coach with a quarterback with a skill set of Deshaun Watson. To me, the primary candidate should be Kansas City offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, and I would have Greg Roman close behind at Baltimore. Greg was fired here in 2005 in the Dom Capers purge. He had coached two positions, but Bieniemy would be at the top of my list.
Let me just may I wildly speculate, John, which is very it's irresponsible of me, but I'm going to wildly speculate. I have no idea if it's feasible or not, or if it makes any sense or not. But, I mean, if you want to make your quarterback comfortable and you want to have somebody who knows how to coordinate and plan for Deshaun Watson, what are the odds of taking every dollar on planet Earth and calling up Clemson and asking Dabo Swinney if he wants to do something like this? What about that idea?
Fans here always bringing up Dabo, Lincoln Riley. If Dabo Swinney was interested in coming to the NFL and he called Cal McNair's agent and said he's interested, of course he would listen to him. If Lincoln Riley did that, Lincoln Riley turned down Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. Now, Lincoln Riley wasn't 0-2 at the time. Maybe he changed his tune. But it's going to be a coach who has a history, I believe, of working with successful quarterbacks who have the same skills as Watson. And I'm sure if Dabo was interested, they'd be all over him. But I've never seen any interest in him in the NFL, no matter what kind of money he was offered.
No, I know that. And maybe part of the reason why is he's never been offered to be connected with Deshaun Watson. And obviously we, from the outside, start connecting dots. I don't know if Andrew Luck would ever want to be reconnected with Jim Harbaugh. You know what I'm saying? I'm assuming the relationship was hunky-dory. What about the Watson-O'Brien relationship?
Let me ask you this. How do you know Dabo won't want to be working with Trevor Lawrence?
You know what? That means he would go to New York, one of the two New York teams, you know?
Well, this is a good job, Rich, because the owners pay a lot of money. They are very patient with the head coach. They stay out of it. They know what's going on, but they stay out of it. I think Bill had a good relationship with Watson up until this season. Watson had been really successful. He's thrown four touchdown passes in the last two games. He's had a great first half in Pittsburgh, great second half against Minnesota, but he hasn't put together a full great game like he did so often last year. But he had no issues with O'Brien, at least based on everything he said publicly.
All right, John, before I let you go, what's the scoop with the Rockets? What are you hearing about them moving forward here?
Boy, I know they were interested in Doc Rivers, and he took that job before sunset in Philadelphia. Now I have no idea what they're going to do. And let me ask you a question, Rich. Mm-hmm. How about those Astros?
By the way, I'll tell you what, John, everybody here in Los Angeles loves having the Astros there in Dodger Stadium. They just love it. They can't get enough of it, John. They can't get enough of it.
The Astros tear up Dodger Stadium. People forget how well they hit in Dodger Stadium when they cheated to get that World Series title in 2017. I guess they took those trash can lids and buzzers with them to Dodger Stadium in the World Series.
Well, I guess I don't know, John. If they tear up Dodger Stadium, the Dodgers would just like them to take all the trash and put it in the can, please. You know,
wouldn't it be something? The Astros win at Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers come here to go to the World Series and lose in Houston. How embarrassing would that be?
Love you, John McClain. Thanks for the call. You take care of yourself. You be well.
You take care too, Rich. Thank you very much, as always.
You bet. That's John McClain. National treasure, John McClain.
The best.
You're rooting for the Astros, aren't you?
Sports are better when there's someone to root against. And so it's no fun when the villains get bounced. It's fun to have them all the way to the end because then there's clear polar opposites. There's the good guys and the bad guys.
So, hold on a second. You do realize you're having it both ways, right?
What do you mean?
Sports are better when you're the bad guy, when there's a bad guy in there.
Yeah, sports are better when there's a bad guy.
But when your team is in the role of the bad guy nationally, it's not fair. As a matter of fact, you use that as the chip on your shoulder. You know,
the whole country rooted against the Patriots for 20 years.
And you loved it.
Yeah, it was awesome. But it also made the sport better.
It actually did. He's right. Because I
remember when Kevin Durant joined the Warriors and everyone hated them? That was awesome.
It did. He's right.
Everybody hates us.
I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of saying that you're rooting for the Astros is kind of like betting on the don't pass line of sports. You're betting on the don't pass line of sports. You're showing up and you are a guy stares a hole through the don't pass betting guy at the crap table.
100%. I'm rooting for the Braves, but I'm not mad that the Astros are winning. I think it's kind of hilarious.
People love when the bad guy loses.
But the bad guy has to get there for him to lose.
Exactly.
What if your team is viewed as the bad guy? Hold on a second. And they play in somebody else's stadium.
I know.
Hit a grand slam and then co-opt the Slam Diego phrase for themselves.
That makes you the bad guy.
Really?
You're crazy, man.
I don't see it that way.
Of course not.
Maybe we'll talk about it next hour. 844-204-RICH. Josh Norman joining us on the other side with your phone calls as well. Here on the Rich Eisen Show.